Pope Benedict XVI said something that's exciting and challenging. He said, "The world offers you comfort, but you were not made for comfort. You were made for greatness." Now that might come as a shock to our ears, because our lives are immersed in comfort, seeking more and better convenience every day. God made us for greatness. And implied in those words is that choosing the path of comfort will prevent us from achieving the greatness for which God created us. And we know this. You know, we know that we can't achieve or advance to anything exceptional without entering into the battle, without paying the price in school, in sports, at work, even in our favorite hobby. Well, it's the same in our relationship with God. In this most essential area of our lives, how many of us view it as a spectator sport? You know, we think our duty is to show up, pay the price of admission, and then watch from the stands. Maybe we've forgotten the church's identity. And what is that identity? It's an identity we don't talk much about anymore. A traditional term for the church on earth is the church militant. That we are a fighting church. And we're a fighting church because we are a resurrection church. Heaven is something worth fighting and battling for. Whenever the church has embraced this identity, that heaven is something worth fighting for, the church flourishes. But whenever it compromises on that identity, when it chooses comfort, convenience, with getting along with the culture, it declines. And you can probably guess what kind of cycle we're experiencing here in America. But we can change the outcome if we're willing to enter into the battle. Or are we afraid? Are we afraid of what Jeremiah experienced? "All the day I am the object of laughter. Everyone mocks me." However, it's not a fear of the message itself, because we have a great message, because we are a resurrection church. God became man in Jesus Christ, and now man is able to overcome death because of him. We are a church of hope to a world laden with despair. The prophetic message of Jesus Christ isn't one of doom and gloom, and isn't one of death and violence. It's one of hope and forgiveness. Our hope isn't in what the human species can accomplish if we all just pull together. Our hope is in something far greater. Our hope is in what God can accomplish in and through us. This is the message that I think many have lost during the pandemic. When we as a Christian people focus on the dignity and greatness of every person, that God made us for heaven, and that Jesus willingly died on the cross so that we can attain heaven, then the gospel advances and the culture is renewed. That is true Christian hope. It's not the worldly kind of hope that we see on signs around Aiken. You know, you've seen them. Hope, H-O-P-E, hang on, pandemic end. What does that even mean? Where's the hope in that? I mean, is this just like hang on until we can begin to pursue comfort and convenience again? But what profit would there be to gain the whole world if you lose your soul? Here is where true hope lies. That Jesus, the Son of God, took on our human condition to enter into the battle with us. Jesus takes on all that alienates us from God. He takes on our sin, our dysfunction, that we might be healed and return to God. Because of his great love for us, Jesus confronts it face to face in hand-to-hand combat. He doesn't just do it from a safe distance. And if there was a better way for God to show his love for us, he would have done it. And so that means that there's no better way for us to renew our culture than to take up the cross and follow after Jesus. It's a witness that our lives are made for a greatness beyond this world. I'm willing to sacrifice my own comfort and convenience in this world for the benefit of my salvation and the salvation of others. Or have we chosen comfort over greatness? Perhaps this is why there's a tendency for couples today to want pets instead of children, and to want small families instead of large ones. You know, they prefer the comforts of now because they don't picture heaven surrounded by those they love. I was watching a video of legendary football coach Lou Holtz, and he was reminding a graduating class that you can't take your money to heaven, but you can take your children and your grandchildren. Because of our addiction to comfort, we shudder and we pull back at this call to take up the cross. And yet it's the cross that we learn how to comprehend and understand the heart and mind of God. When we accept the cross in the concrete events of our daily lives, that enables the gospel to move from being just some nice idea to the mingling of our flesh and blood with the flesh and blood of Jesus. And that kind of love can renew the culture. However, if we're going to renew the culture, we must first allow ourselves to be renewed. Our readings point to two powerful, practical ways. First, deny yourself. Enter into the battle with your bodies. We heard in the second reading, I urge you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is the first way that we fight as a church militant. Pray with your bodies. Pray on your knees. Renew the practice of fasting. Recover the habit of making small sacrifices and uniting them to the sacrifice of Christ for the redemption of our loved ones and for the world. This is an important part of our forgotten identity. Sacrifice and suffering united to Christ's sufferings have the power to change hearts. As St. Thérèse of Lisieux wrote, she said, my whole strength lies in prayer and sacrifice. These are my invincible arms. They can move hearts far better than words. When we sacrifice, we're saying, I'm willing to set aside what I want now for the sake of God's promise. That's a powerful, prophetic message for our culture that only wants comfort and convenience. And the second way that we can renew ourselves, do not conform yourselves to this age, but allow for the renewal of your mind. We heard Jeremiah proclaim, he said, whenever I speak, I must cry out. Violence and outrage is my message. Why? Because that was what he saw everywhere. That was what was in the window of his eyes. Recent studies of the brain show that the choices we make in life will most likely come from what is in our window. They come from what is routinely before our eyes. When we exercise our free will, we choose from what is within the window of possibilities that's built up from our knowledge and our experience. But that window isn't static. It's constantly changing based on the information that we feed it today and tomorrow. And so how we thought and acted before determines how we'll act and think today. If we choose to feed our brains with trivia, violence, lust, and self-seeking, then when we go to make a decision, what will appear in our windows is trivia, violence, lust, and self-seeking. It's exactly what Jesus told us. 2,000 years ago, he said, a good person out of the store of goodness in his heart produces good, and an evil person out of the store of evil in his heart produces evil. If we fill our windows with goodness and virtue, we will move towards greatness. And so we can either conform ourselves to this age, or we can be transformed by the renewal of our minds. If you don't like what's in your window, you can change that. And this is the second way we have to fight. We change and control what is in our windows and in the windows of those whom we love. The battlefield is the deluge of information coming to us from our phones and our TV screens that's drowning out the voice of God, that's swallowing up our thirst for the transcendent, that's filling our minds with trivia, violence, and comfort. We need to recover the Christian virtues of simplicity and silence. And that's a homily for a whole homily for another day. But more than anything I know, simplicity and silence are able to expand our hearts to hear God, to love God, and to serve for the salvation of others. Furthermore, they make it possible for us to finally fulfill our windows with that which gives us true hope, that God made us for heaven, and Jesus died on the cross so that we can attain heaven. It's time we recover our lost identity, that we are a fighting church because we are a resurrection church. Heaven is worth fighting for because true hope can only be found in the eternal promises of God and understanding what Jesus did so that we can take hold of those promises. We were not made for comfort. We were made for greatness. It's time that we engage in the battle.